Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
We've got waterwaystravel.com with us today, Scott. Making everybody's travel experiences easier, safer, more predictable, I'd say.
Well, you're absolutely right. And look, with waterways, what you get is you get experience plus knowledge, and that equals a smooth travel experience. And that's the great thing about waterways. You've got decades of knowledge.
You know who should be using waterways? The WSL.
Holy crap.
Between G-Land and El Salvador. Holy cow. They could really have benefited from some knowledgeable forecasting. And yeah, that's the other thing is not only does waterways vet out the accommodations and all that sort of stuff, but they're experts at the surf spots at those accommodations. So they can tell you which boards you need to bring, which swells you should be planning for, tide condition, wind condition, all that sort of stuff. That's kind of the whole purpose of the business was to build it around surf travel. So don't get skunked.
No, sir.
Waterwaystravel.com is the website. And then realwatersports.com is the retail website that you should use for any of your surfboard purchasing needs. Of course, they have all the accessories that come with surfboards. For that, you'll save 15% off with a board purchase, but they have a 1,500 board inventory and they can ship you boards anywhere in the world. So realwatersports.com.
Real Water Sports, you're talking about hard goods galore. It's, you know, it's a candy store for surfers and you want to check out realwatersports.com. It's a no-brainer if you love surfboards and surf gear.
Yeah, enjoy that.
See some movement at the takeoff zone. It's Kelly Slater grabbing rail. A clean entry. This thing holding open. It spits.
When it spit me, I thought it was going to spit me off my board.
Comes out with the spit. Spits him out.
Comes out after the spit.
Gets spat out of another good-looking wave here.
Spit. Spit.
Spit. We're just spitballing, right? Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, guy. Are you kidding me right now? It's an early morning, David. 6:30 in the morning on Thursday, June 16th. And we've got an early start because I have a hard out at 7:30. So I appreciate your making time for me this morning.
I'm glad to bring it, man. We're here for the listeners, no matter what time of day And you have family obligations, Scott. So that's a noble pursuit. We will gladly schedule around that. If you just said I was going golfing, I'd be like, no. We can, or we can Zoom. Bring your phone. We'll Zoom from the golf course. But family obligations, we will build around.
What if I told you I was playing pickleball?
Still not going to accommodate that.
So let's see. We should probably get into it. It seems like the big news is that the WSL is in El Salvador and they are surfing right now as we speak, the elimination round. And, you know, frankly, the waves are less than what a world professional surfing league would hope for. Now, granted, look, a lot of times Mother Nature has a say in these things, but I will tell you this, that I've surfed at this spot and I've been down to this region many times. And this spot in this region, in my opinion, if you're going to run events here, you need to run events here in the spring, in April and in May, preferably April. And if you can, March. Because this time of year, you get these tropical disturbances down there that spin up crazy winds. And that's what we're seeing here, is just early morning onshore winds. And it's not a surprise. You know, you come down here in April and you're getting crisp, wintry offshore mornings, you know, relatively speaking. You know, it's unfortunate. Now, you can get great waves in the summertime, or great conditions, I should say. You're always going to get south swell, but you know, this kind of speaks to the, you know, to the let's pick the eyes out of a swelling conditions situation that the WSL has yet to capitalize on, or yet to move on, or yet to, you know,
it's not just pick the eyes out of the swell. It's plan for the right season.
Exactly. That's what I mean. Conditions, pick the eyes out of the conditions. And I mean, and you know, too, you've surfed down here enough to know that, you know, if you can get a solid south swell in April, you're going to get some beautiful conditions. And it's just, this is a situation where there's just too much tropical disturbance.
Well, so let's actually pick this apart a little bit, because I've never been to G-Land, but listeners had emailed me as we were discussing that, because I was kind of giving the WSL a little bit of a pass, going, well, you know, there's a swell before and there's a swell after. They happen to put the window in the wrong, they just happen to get a bad window. People are like, no, if you plan for kind of mid to late June on, you don't go 7 days, or 10 days was the waiting period. You don't go 10 days without a significant swell. So they planned the event incorrectly. And what you're saying now is they planned El Salvador incorrectly, not by half a month, but by 2 months. So that's actually a story. That's a news story. And that's problematic.
Well, I agree with you. And in addition, this event kind of reeks of, hey, guess what? The nation state of El Salvador is supporting surfing. They want us to come down. It feels a little crowbarred. It feels like they're like, hey, they're giving us money. They want to, you know? And so it's like, I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's like,
it's a commercial for El Salvador.
Yeah. It's like Allentown, Pennsylvania. It's like, yeah, let's have a friggin' event at the wave pool in Allentown. They want us there. You know, it's just, you know,
The
wave is great. It's a super, I've surfed it like Jay Bay. I mean, it's incredible if it's offshore. And it's just, okay, El Salvador wants us. Let's do it when it's good down there, not when, you know, we can crowbar it into the schedule.
Yeah, the commercial aspect of this is very real. And I've not experienced that before in any other WSL CT events. And what you said is accurate. The local or the government or whatever, is they invited the WSL, they're trying to rebrand as Surf City, and they're probably giving the WSL money to host the event here. But every single like cutaway. They cut away to Chris Cote. Chris Cote calls in, and all they do is ask Chris Cote about how is the food here? Where did you stay? Tell me about the surf spots. And Chris is doing, I mean, he's doing the right thing. He's towing the company line and he's feeding them exactly what they're asking for. Yeah. It's no dis. I mean, Chris didn't do anything wrong. He's answering their questions, yeah. But it's very much a commercial. The entire event feels like a commercial. And yeah. So when you say crowbarred, that is how I felt as well, which was, wait a second, why are we here in the first place? Shouldn't we be always aiming for putting the best surfers in the best waves? And if we're not, or if we just got the swell window wrong, whatever, but if we're here because of bureaucratic decision-making, that's problematic. If the bureaucratic decision-making became the priority over putting surfers in good waves, that's a huge problem. And it's honestly not the first problem. It's falls right in line with a lot of things that we've been identifying for a couple of years now that create less than interesting events.
It's just unfortunate. I mean, if you look, I'm looking at the forecast now. I don't know when the last day of the waiting period is. Do you?
No, but I could figure it out. It looks and like they go they straight to Brazil.
Some good winds tomorrow.
Well, the fact that they're running today, though.
Yeah, it's just
the 20th. The 20th is the final day.
Okay. Yeah.
Today's
the 16th. They got to run today and tomorrow, more or less, or they're going to just get more of this. I will say this. I've also looked at G-Land just now. The forecast for G-Land for the next week is 8 to 12 feet and perfect. I don't know. I just think it's 2022. I feel like at the end of this year, they need to sit down and somebody needs to be the adult in the room and go, you know, we need to run in above average, really good waves all the time.
Totally.
Or we're not really putting these surfers in the best situation to highlight their expertise. Well, what I'm seeing now is basically, it feels like an NSSA event.
Totally. When you see the best surfers in the world totally nullified, like barely getting off a snap or two, and then that gets them a 7 or an 8, that's problematic.
Yeah, we're seeing one wave aerials getting guys through, you know. And
I don't want to, the problem for the WSL is I am no longer watching. I watched a couple of heats yesterday, and even then I wasn't fully paying attention. It's not interesting to watch. There's better things to do with my time.
And, you know, it's funny. I went through the heat analyzer, and by about the second heat, as I like scrolled down, I'm like, oh, I could watch the Kanoa heat. And then in my mind, I'm like, I already know what he's going to do. Mm-hmm. I've seen it. You know, like there's
exactly.
It's, and what they're not doing is pitting themselves against, you know, Mother Nature.
Exactly.
It's just like, okay.
Well,
it feels sophomoric, like a sophomoric exhibition of what could be.
Definitely. In regard to the event itself, the 11-time world champ Kelly Slater pulled out citing injury, and that's as vague as it was.
Yeah.
Tyler Wright withdrew from the event, citing post-COVID complications. If you'll remember, she caught COVID after her round one heat at G-Land.
Yeah.
Question for you, is Kelly really injured? It looks like he's just staying in Bali.
No, he's not injured. Of course not. But I don't know. I'm not his doctor. Maybe he is. Maybe he has a slight... I mean, it's easy to be injured at 50. I'm injured every single day. You know, I wake up with a thing where I'm like, you know, it's easy to legitimately say I have back pain. You know what I mean?
When
you're 50 years old and you're surfing as hard as Kelly is. So I don't want to sit here and go, but I will say this, if he was in the yellow jersey, I think he'd be surfing in this event.
Or if the waves were good.
Yeah.
If the waves are pumping.
Yeah.
So this is a story that popped up for you. And like you and I were texting about this week. And it's something that we totally did not anticipate, but did the cut create apathy for the surfers who aren't going to be in the top five. Because what's happened is everybody who's on tour is now already qualified for next year.
Yeah.
So there's really no incentive other than your seating for next year to show A, to show up for events, and B, to give it your all if you're not going to be in the top five. So that top end of the pointy end of the stick is still going to be interesting and competitive, and there are stakes, but for everybody else, there's no stakes. And part of the selling point for this cut was the WSL was saying, well, stakes are high from event one, and putting pipeline there, stakes are high. So it's going to be so much more exciting from the get-go. Whereas a lot of surfers used to show up at the beginning of the year, find their feet, and then really try to kind of turn it on. Gabriel Medina used to do that. That was what he was famous for. So they're saying now everybody's going to show up and have to be very serious right at the beginning. Well, that was true. But the unforeseen consequence is now post-cut, I feel like people are phoning it in. It doesn't. Kelly's that looking at G or El Salvador going, I don't really have to show up. What happens if I don't show up? I get to stay in Bali, surf more, and heal up from whatever nagging injury I've got, you know?
Yeah.
No, so, true. And he doesn't show up for Rio often. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's not there either. So this is problematic.
I'm watching Ethan Ewing surf, and he's actually got a couple of good waves with some. I'm watching the highlights of his heat. Ethan Ewing is absolutely ripping. And
he really is.
This surfing is worth watching right here.
I mean, you're right. It's the most interesting out of all of this, but we'd way rather see him surfing perfect waves.
Yeah. And everyone needs to be surfing in really good waves for me to tune in. You know, it's like,
of course.
And the other interesting thing, you know, this wave is a super good wave, but I think that, I don't know, the elephant in the room is that all the wastewater from this area gets pumped out right at the top of this point. I've paddled out here with a white t-shirt on and came in and the t-shirt was brown. And in the whole time it was just stinking. Like the gnarliest, you know. But again, I sound like I'm like trying to throw shade on the surf city vibe. I want El Salvador to prosper. I want the location to, I'm just telling you what it is. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, to be perfectly frank, if you or I are going to El Salvador, we're going down to the east end of El Salvador, what they call the east, which is Punta Mango and Las Flores.
Yeah.
Where it's a lot cleaner and it's. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody DM'd me about the apathy after the cut, and he said, the CT basically is now just a qualifying tour for the top five. I'll read more from him, but I want to discuss that real quickly. He's right. I feel like this whole cut concept is a baby step towards what we've been talking about for a long time. If we've identified the cut is good, then what are we doing with the first half of the season? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, let's just start with a cut because that's actually more better. And what he's saying is even more salient, which is let's just start with the top five. This is just a qualifying for the top five. So all that we really want to do is get to the final day to watch the top five surfers watch. Why not? Let's just do more of that. You know, and if we're not going to do entirely that, all we really want to do is get to the back of the season where we're going to watch the better 16 compete. Then let's just start with that. Let's cut out all the bull crap.
Totally agree. I was just wondering if 12, you know, what's the number? Whatever it is, let's call it 16. Let's call it 12. Let's call it whatever.
Well,
that needs to be it. And
totally.
Let's just grind to the top five.
Because as he said, the CT is now a qualifying tour for the top five. If you can't mathematically make it to the top five, then there are zero stakes for the rest of the comps of the year. Your knees only have so many flexes. Your heart's only so many beats. The number of times a sane human can interact with Strider is dangerously unknown. So what are you going to choose to do with your time? So I thought that was funny.
Yeah, it's, you know, it just does not feel like you know, what the WSL should be representing, you know, like,
yeah,
it's not A plus prime competition. Nope. Just isn't.
Tis not. Speaking of Kelly Slater, whether he's injured or not, did you watch episode one of Lost Reels?
No, but I
heard Lost Tapes.
I heard it was really good.
Oh, really?
That's what I heard. I have not seen it, but I heard it was pretty good.
Are you going to watch it?
I'd like to. Yeah. I'm a big fan of all things Kelly Slater. He's the man, you know, he's kind of the man. He's kind of like, he's going to be the man forever because he's just got so much legacy and, you know.
Well, can I tell you about it and our listeners?
Yeah.
This is an 11-part documentary series. Episode one just aired this past week. It airs on Sunday, by the way. It's being presented by Outer Known, published by the WSL. It interestingly documents the prepping of his getting ready for the 2019 tour. So this is really outdated. This was him coming back from that foot injury. I don't know if you remember, but way back then, or maybe 2018, there was a series. I feel like it was a three-parter. It was called Continuance.
Yes.
Focusing on Kelly. It was a documentary series on Kelly Slater. And it said that there was more episodes coming, and then it fully disappeared. And I was like, and they even left a to be continued at the end of, I think, episode three. Maybe there was four episodes. And I was like, I loved that series. And I was waiting. I think this is the continuance of Continuance. I do, because it's made by the same guy. Alec Parker is the guy's name. And I was not familiar with him previously, and I liked his work, so I was eager to see more. This is that, I believe, because it follows the exact same timeline and trajectory that they were already on. So I don't know why they held it for 3 or 4 years, but here it is. And I agree with what you heard, is that it is pretty good. It's not particularly insightful or revealing in any way, but it is nice just to follow along with Kelly Slater and see what Kelly Slater does, you know, see his little training regimes. I feel like he and Alec developed a bit of a rapport. So he's talking to the camera a lot of the times, and it feels very natural. I do feel like Kelly probably has oversight on the production. And so, again, it is glowing. It's not revealing necessarily, but it is just nice to tag along, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Like I said, even though it's probably, you know, if it's produced by Outer Known and it's a WSL thing, it's not going to be overly conflicted. It's just going to be a deep look at some of the stuff that Kelly does and how he prepares. And that's fine. I have an interesting little conspiracy theory.
I love it.
And that's all it is. It's pure conspiracy. It doesn't have any validation but Kelly Slater has I want to say it's a 71% winning percentage. And Gabe Medina has a 67% winning percentage. Could it be, David, that Kelly isn't surfing to kind of, because he sees this, he wants to maintain this winning percentage. I think it's the highest winning percentage ever in the history of the WSL. He doesn't want to lose it to Gabe. So why not, just in addition to the waves being complete crap and the conditions being blown out, why not just kind of decide that your back hurts and surf Bali and not have to lose any more of that winning percentage to your, what is really, I would think, his arch rival in Gabe Medina.
I agree with this theory. I do believe that is exactly what he is doing. He has every title in the book, and he's not willing to concede a single one. And so, yes, he ran the numbers. That's exactly what he's doing.
And good by call. The way, I'm kind of okay with it.
Totally. Yeah, I mean, I don't what care you gotta if he's do not surfing here.
Yeah.
I don't care if he's not surfing here at all. Yeah. So one thing that you will find from watching that Continuance series is he's treated his body so well that it's really inspirational to watch. You watch him go through his little routines and you're like, ooh, yeah, you're right. I should be stretching every single morning. oh, he's drinking that beverage instead of, you know, eating a big heavy meal. You're right. I should probably be doing that for breakfast instead. You know, Pilates, look at how much range he has of motion, all of these things, breath holding, swimming, like cross training stuff. All of these little things add up, you know, and I'm not even doing a single one of them, right? I'm doing very few of them and he's doing 12 of them a day and he's older than me. It's like, man, I got to get my act together. It's really inspirational.
He's mixing his own baby formula. He's doing all sorts of stuff.
I wouldn't be surprised if he's drinking that baby formula too.
Why not?
The other epiphany that I had and makes this series worth watching.
Yeah.
Think about this. We have not seen Kelly free surfing in the last decade. When I was growing up, 70 to 80% of all of the surfing I saw of Kelly Slater was free surfing because there were so many surf videos that featured him.
Yeah.
Nowadays, 80% of what I see of him is contest surfing, and I rarely ever see him free surfing. And if it is, it's like, oh, some warm-up session in Hawaii. You never really see a full edit on Kelly Slater where, or you certainly don't see one where he's actually putting together a part like he used to back in the days or like Gabriel Medina does now or John does now or anything like that. And so watching him free surf in this was incredibly inspiring. I was like, holy cow, Kelly surfs. I mean, it sounds silly to say, Kelly surfs incredibly. And Kelly surfs so creatively. And I was like, man, how come he's not doing that in a heat? Oh yeah, it's because he's surfing in the confines of a heat 9 times out of 10 when I see him. And so he's trying to tick boxes and it feels forced. But when you watch him in this and he's just free surfing, he's taking really interesting lines. He's just like standing there and waiting for a minute or two and then go. And it just looks like jazz.
Yeah.
In the best possible way. It really reignited what I loved about Kelly Slater for decades. You know,
I totally agree with you. You make a great point. And it's why when you think about it, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about what's that road trip series they did on Stab? What's it called again?
Drive Through.
Thank you. Remember when we watched Kelly on the East Coast? Yeah. Not at Sebastian, but at
New Smyrna.
Yeah. Like, all eyes were glued on Kelly. He kind of owned that session. And you kind of pinpointed why I was so engaged in it. And it's because I don't really see Kelly surf as much as we used to see Kelly surf.
And so
it was like,
right?
Wow, I was much more focused on what he was doing. And he absolutely owned that. I mean, there was some great surfing going on, don't get me wrong, but you could tell he was inspired by the younger guys. And he was also like, look at me. I'm still the guy to beat, you know?
Yeah. He really was too in those sessions. He did the best air in both the sessions that I remember. And his like backside Rios were insane, kind of upside down, hitting big closeouts. But it's an epiphany that I had that we haven't had the pleasure of watching him free surf. And I think that it hasn't done him any favors with his fan base because you and I are surf fans at the core. And so we talk about all of the superfluous stuff, people's personalities, decisions they're making, blah, blah, blah. But we're fans at the core. And so if the person we're talking about is a phenomenal surfer, then it wins us over every time. Just like Gabriel Medina wins us over, you know? Kelly Slater has not let that part of his personality be shown for the last 8 or 9 years, I feel. And so, man, it was refreshing to see.
You're right. We want to see the jazz. We want to see the jazz. And you bring up some, probably the most important part of everybody's surfing style. And it's the pauses, you know, it's the moments in between. Mm-hmm. It's the quiet times on the wave that really sets you apart. You know, we're all doing top turns, but you know, what are we doing between those moments? And it's kind of like Neil Peart from Rush, the drummer, once said, you know, it's when he was talking about drum beats and he took a lesson from some master drummer, and the master drummer guy, I forgot his name, was basically saying, you know, my time is based on the silence, which is like next level shit, you know, and that's kind of where Kelly's at and others too, that are, you know, like Tom Curran.
Yeah.
And even guys like Dave Rostovich and Rob Machado and anybody with a really great style, they're thinking about, they're not thinking about it, it's Zen, but there's, you know, quiet, the quiet moments are what sets you apart.
Completely. Another little story, there's not much to report here, but it's worth noting. The WSL is going to be producing a scripted series with the production team that made Make or Break, the Apple Plus series.
Yeah.
So Box to Box Films had such success with that, that they've entered into an agreement. They feel that there's a need to make a scripted series. I have no idea what this will be. The WSL hasn't even stated anything other than the fact that the deal is made. And so they're going into pre-production for that. Nothing was also stated about where this would ultimately live. So we don't know if this will be an Apple Plus series, a Netflix series. It may just end up on the WSL's website. Do you have any thoughts at all on a scripted surfing series from Box to Box in the WSL?
Yeah, I'm a little bit ignorant about what that means, sadly. I should probably know, but when I think to myself, scripted, is that like a feature length?
Not necessarily.
Fictional thing? Because
fictional, yes.
Fictional. Scripted, does, fictional.
Well, feature length generally means film. So 90
minute
film.
Yeah, not feature length, but I mean,
this is, so this fictional. Is, they're calling it a series. So it would probably be 22 or 30 minute, 10 episode series. But yes, fictional.
And why does the WSL have a part in it? Like, I don't know. Why?
My question is, did anybody ask for this? Does anybody want this at all?
I got a feeling that this is like, you know, they had success. They went out to lunch and Elo's like, what about this? You know, and probably Elo had an idea and I don't know. I don't know how it came to be, but I don't really understand it. And frankly, I'm into scripted stuff, you know, but it doesn't have to be about surfing. I don't really want to, me personally, I'd rather watch Larry David. You know, like if I'm going to watch scripted stuff, I want something that's actually cleverly written and you know what I mean? Like I want,
which is their goal, of course.
You know what I mean? I want Peaky Blinders. And guess what? Please don't crowbar surfing culture into it because you're going to screw it up.
So the reason why this is a topic or a news story is I really feel like they've lost the plot completely. Every time they advertise, whether it was the Ultimate Surfer last year or this, I am confounded to figure out what the angle is here or how this services the WSL's goal, which I know their goal is making money. This is a losing venture.
That can't be their goal. That's the problem. Is that
well, no, I think that's a business. That should be your goal if you are in business. But
I
as
don't
we've...
think that's true with the WSL. Let's be clear. The WSL's goal should be to crown champions, the best surfers in the world and the best waves in the world. That's their goal. If they can't make money doing that, then they need to get out of the business of professional surfing.
Well, both the goal you stated and I stated have nothing to do with a scripted series.
I agree.
So I see this news and I just want to face in palm, just be like, are you freaking kidding me? First of all, it's been tried over and over and over again, and there's barely any successful examples of it. You know,
well, my thing is, let's say it's highly successful. Let's say it wins 35 Emmys and is better than The Sopranos. So what? That's not what you're here to do. You're here to
We're still waiting to see Gabe and John at Cloudbreak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, was pumping last week. They could have had an event. Yeah. They could have had a Purple Blob Tour event there and then they would have nailed it.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, if you're reading this news and you're on, like, say, the World Longboard Tour, you're just going hand in face, shaking your head, going, could you please have some events at Noosa or somewhere good and give a shit about us or let us go? Please just clip us and let us die a quick death over here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. But I know.
I'm kind of all out until they wrap their heads around putting 12 surfers in really epic waves for a day or two, eight events of which lead up to the top five at 8 to 10 foot pipeline.
Completely.
I mean, the recipe is pretty simple.
It's and, so simple.
It doesn't involve a scripted, you know, like I said, I hope it's a great show, but it doesn't matter to me. It's like, you know, who else puts out great shows? You know, whoever, you know, like name it, you know, Larry David.
Which he does. And that would be incredible if they put something out as good as Curb Your Enthusiasm, but it's about mid-length surfers. It would be insane. But no, they won't. They absolutely will not.
Real quick, I love my AG1. You know why? Nutrients, supplements, good stuff for you. Look at David's is empty. He's already had his, and it's not even 6:31 in the morning, 7:31 in the morning.
That's AG1, why this
athleticgreens.com/surf.
That's why this show was so sharp, Scott, is because I ingested it at the beginning. Right. I didn't want to hold out until the end of the show and give you a dud of a show. But yeah, athleticgreens.com/surf is our portal.
Go get some Athletic Greens.
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Somebody sent me a note that Aaron Brooks, the young phenom, goofy-footed phenom Aaron Brooks, is now surfing for Canada.
Yeah,
as she prepares for the Olympics.
What's
tangential,
the rationale behind that? You know,
well, the tangential story is Adriana De Souza is now coaching for Italy. So, I wanted to ask the question for you: is does it feel like? What are the ethics involved in this?
Wrong. It does.
What are the ethics involved in this? Is if you have a percentage of some other country, and surfing for that country might allow you to, you know, certainly make the team, and then have more favorable standing.
I think it's worth it. I think you need to have a passport. I think you need to be a citizen of the country. And maybe she is. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just, we're just muddying the waters of the whole, like, who do you really care about? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm just old and naive, but it feels to me like if you're born in the United States and you're a United States citizen, that's who you surf for. And if you want to move to Canada and become a Canadian citizen, that's fine. And maybe you can get dual citizenship, and that's fine too.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to go to that length to become Irish, which I think is kind of cool, then go surf for Ireland, you know,
right?
Whatever. But to be Irish, you kind of do need to have some ancestry.
I agree with you. Wherever, like for Kanoa Igarashi surfing for Japan, that makes a little bit more sense to me because he actually was born there. He identifies as, you know, Japanese and all that stuff. And so, and he has so many ties there and his parents are from there. So that makes sense. Even though he's been living in California for the majority of his life, it makes sense that he would surf for Japan.
Does the Brooks have a Canadian connection?
I don't know her backstory at all, but it gives, we have seen this happening. We saw it happen in the last Olympics where, people have, I mean, I think it's Eitan Osborne is surfing for Israel, you know, and he's Californian. He's from California. He's as American as they come, essentially. Yeah. And so it's an interesting topic anyways.
I mean, it must be on some level, the ISA or somebody must be going, hey, let's try to even out the competition with all of these nation states. So it's more exciting. So that, you know, Canada can win a bronze at the ISA World Games or whatever, you know, like, because right now it seems to always be, you know, Australia, Brazil, USA, France, you know, like sort of the same five nation states that kind of dominate the scene.
Yeah.
And, you know, but even that's kind of like, you know, ethically you kind of go, well, I don't know, you know?
Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on Adriano getting hired on as coach for Italy?
Not really. I mean, look, these nation states in the Olympics forever have been hiring, you know, non-nationals to coach for national teams, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think PT coached China for a while. But I think if you're surfing for the nation state, like I mean, because maybe the Brooks family has a Canadian connection. You know, I just want to know, you know, does she have a favorite hockey team? Like, if she can't tell me her favorite hockey team right away, then you're, you know, like, no, you don't pass the litmus test. You know, if you're not immediately saying, you know, Edmonton Oilers, the great one, Gretzky, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't know who McLeod is, you're out.
Yep. Totally. What's your favorite maple syrup?
I don't even know his name. McDavid, but red hot young phenom for Edmonton. He's a pretty good player.
I was watching Dylan Graves does this series for Vans called Breaking Waves Breaking Waves. And he interviewed Adriana de Souza about the Brazilian kind of lack, how long it took for the Brazilians to really get respected and accepted.
Yeah.
It was really interesting. I mean, I remember it when it was happening and I did feel some sort of reticence towards certainly him, just mainly because of his style. But it's interesting to look at in hindsight, very little hindsight, it very much looks racist. And he was Adriano to hear him talk about it. He was like, what do I have to do? He's like, I was winning. I think he said he won 13 events. He's like, I was winning events consistently. I was doing crazier aerials. I was showing up earlier, staying late. Magazines would not put me in the magazine. Yeah. And he's like, and I would win it. And then they would talk about second place because Chloe Andino made the final. They'd talk about Chloe Andino the whole time. Yeah. Chloe Andino still hasn't won an event, you know? Yeah. Adriano was like, what do I have to do? And then I won a world title. and they still didn't talk about me. He's like, it was Kelly, crazy.
Because Kelly broke the internet with a wave in L'Amour.
Exactly, the very next day. And in addition to just not talking about him, couldn't get sponsorship. You know, he's like, I'm literally winning events and world titles. And
it speaks to, first of all, back then, it speaks to the surf media not really being journalistic. Like Surfer and Surfing Magazine, say what you will about them, but at the end of the day, they're just marketing vehicles for the brands. And if the brands aren't going to support Adriano, they're not, the magazines aren't going to go front and center with an Adriano profile.
Well, the racist detail embedded within there is they think that they're selling, those brands want to sell product. And they're like looking at Southern California or the coastal United States going, hey, these are young white dudes. So let's market to young white dudes. The thing that they overlooked and people have now figured out is you could sell a lot more product if you're not just focusing on the same exact demographic over and over. So let's put a different gender in the ad. Let's put a different skin tone in the ad. And then all of a sudden they're now developing markets internationally, you know?
Yeah. If Sports Illustrated covered surfing, you'd see a big story about what we're talking about right now, but
totally,
because it's all endemic media, it's just really, incestual.
Yeah, completely. I've got a little conspiracy theory.
Oh yeah, bring it. This is the conspiracy episode.
So this came in from a listener and he said, you guys often discuss the need to have real journalism in surfing to reveal inner workings of the surf world. Well, Josh Burke's inclusion in the El Salvador event is a prime example of the need for surf journalism. Kelly pulls out, Josh goes in. How was this decision made? Josh didn't even qualify for the Challenger Series. He was not the next in line. He was also just given a free pass into the Manly event, even though he did not qualify. Slater and Josh's dad are good friends. A billionaire wannabe, a WSL board member, now has a house in Barbados and has become besties with the Burks. Each time, each gets something from this relationship. I'll let you do the math. The WSL needs to be transparent about these things. How was it decided to insert Josh? Josh is an excellent surfer. He's a great person. I have nothing against Josh. I'm stoked to see him on the international stage. And I actually hope that he wins the event. But seriously, WSL, what is up?
Wow. That's interesting. So I didn't know anything about that. But I did wonder, I was surprised when I saw Josh Burke's name. Of course, we know who Josh is. He is an excellent surfer, and he has tons of amateur credentials. You know, he's won events. He's legit. I mean, he's won probably one challenge or at least QS events down in Barbados for sure. But that's very interesting. Like, do the math. A WSL board member moves in next door to the Burks, but he's it all kind of adds up, doesn't it? Like, why? Why Josh Burke? Who was next in line?
Well,
isn't that guy raising hell?
Yeah, well, the WSL, I think he's raising hell because he doesn't even know that he was next in line, probably. I think I did hear one of the commentators state that Josh Burke was the number one ranked Central America, whatever, like regional, regional thing they have.
Yeah.
But I don't think that that's how they generally pick wild cards.
Right.
Like that may be true, but that's not the policy because they've not implemented that policy in the past.
We'd like to see what the policy is. Right. Is that too much to ask?
Well, it's too much to ask of me.
I'm actually watching Josh Burke right now ride. He's surfing against Elo. And what frankly is an important heat for Elo. Like if Josh Burke was to beat Elo right here, man.
And he could, by the way, because he surfed incredibly well yesterday.
That would really do some damage to Elo's top five, you know. So there is some storyline in this back half regarding this is a qualifier for the top five, but it also means that there's only like 10 guys that can qualify for the top five. Yeah. So the bottom 10, it's kind of like you're just playing spoiler.
Totally. By the way, I will tell you, Idolo's death nail, he posted, we see a lot of these posts on Instagram where dudes fall in love and then they post something romantic to their partner.
Oh my God. I know. It's like the Bold and the Beautiful soap opera. It's like
Idolo's was the cringe to end all cringe. Like they all do it. Like, oh, look at my beautiful model. Mia Moore. I'm dating. Yeah, exactly. Idolo's was the ultimate sappy one. It was just like, look, it's, I used to think selfies were, you know, embarrassing, but what's worse than that is when you have it perfectly lit with a professional photographer and you're holding a pose. And that's what Idolo's was. It was like all these moody shots. He's got his head down to the side. She's resting on him. It was just like, it was all staged and set up. It was a legit professional photo shoot. His abs are glistening, you know, and it's like, she's gorgeous. There's no question about it, but geez Louise, if this is the, this is the opposite of you showing up at El Salvador trying to win a world title, dude. And so I think the writing's on the wall.
That would be a good little, like one of the little moments in our sitcom, you know, that they do for the scripted show, is you just have a bunch of sappy stuff go down. Like, you know, like maybe one of the participants in the photo has diarrhea, you know? And so they got to like, because you get, you know, you get a little tropical stomach thing going. And totally. Who knows? I don't know. But I mean, there's so
many,
you could do some really great comedy, but the thing is you don't need surf to do it. Like you could, the thing about putting surf in script is that it limits you. You're limited. Yeah. Like you want to be able to go to the middle of the country and do funny shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, I can't help but now want it to be a Larry David-esque Curb Your Enthusiasm thing.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Surfers Are the Worst. That's what it should be called.
It really should be called. That'd be amazing. Do you remember, I think it was last season, episode one, Curb Your Enthusiasm had gone away. They actually retired. And then they came back after a couple of years. In episode one, Larry David, who's a curmudgeon, doesn't want to, he's antisocial. He doesn't want to be around people. He's constantly annoyed by LA life.
Yeah.
He realizes if he wears a Trump Make America Great Again red hat, everybody leaves him alone. So he shows up at the sushi bar and there's like not a lot of seats. So he pulls out the hat, puts it on. Everybody's offended and like clears a path for him. And he sits down and has lunch by himself. Then his agent, who's Jeff Garlin, you know, a big kind of fat guy.
Yeah.
They see them hanging out and people think he's Harvey Weinstein because he looks like Harvey.
Yeah.
So it was just so, so funny and walked such a fine line between like, you can't do that on TV. Isn't it too early to make a Harvey Weinstein joke? You know what I mean? But the way that they walked it was just so freaking perfect.
Yeah.
It was amazing. That show is so good.
It is amazing. It's hard to, I can only watch one at a time. Have I told you that before?
No.
I get so embarrassed for Larry David. Like I feel embarrassment. Like I'm just like, it's emotionally draining for me to watch more than
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, and that is the complete genius of the show is Larry David is the punchline. So the writer and creator of the show is the punchline of all of the jokes, which is why they're allowed to joke about, you know, Harvey Weinstein and MAGA hats or whatever else. He cannot get out of his own way. He sets up something at the beginning and in the end, he trips himself, you know?
You know what? I was on Twitter last week and somebody chimed in and it was basically like, not kidding you, this really happened. I was at like a bowling alley in LA, like kind of a hip bowling alley in LA. And I'm behind Larry David, who's getting something. Like, I think he's renting shoes or something. Amazing. And it's $11 to rent the shoes. And pure, like just straight out of the show, Larry David's like, why is it $11? Why isn't it $10? You know, and the lady's like, I don't know. And he's like, oh, that's interesting that it's $11. Cause that means I have to give you a 20 and then you give me change and you probably expect a tip. If it was just $10, I could just give you a $10 bill. And like Larry David, literally in real life, without anyone knowing that somebody was listening behind him, was doing a full on Larry David thing.
Oh,
where he was giving the
gosh.
Chick a hard time because it was $11, assumptively suggesting that they wanted a tip because of it.
That is so funny.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
Classic. Yeah. He seems miserable to be around. Like he would not want to be his wife, you know, but
I
funny
also
for
saw
us.
A thing between him and Phil Mickelson, because Larry's a big golfer. And there was a funny little skit on Phil Mickelson's, I think his Instagram or something, where he and Larry David are talking and they're just going at it. They're like nipping at each other. Like it's really actually quite funny.
Yeah.
And I'm going to butcher it if I try to recreate it, but you know, very clever for sure.
Yeah. Well, one other thing that we need to let listeners know is for our paid supporters, we're giving away an album Free Wing on July 1st. So you got 2 weeks to get entered to win this thing. And a couple of words from Matt Parker about this board. If you blur your eyes, it almost looks like it's a short board. It's not that much wider. Volume wise, it carries about 1.5 liters more than an equivalent short board, just in a slightly shorter package. Performance outline with a fuller nose and a late wing into a squash tail. The wing allows you the more width that runs through it to kind of create more drive for speed, but that breaking point in the wing frees it up for maneuverability. It has a shortboard foil and shortboard rails, but a relaxed rocker. You can ride it with your favorite thruster setup or larger twin fins plus one little trailer fin in the back. So this is
that
Jack Freestone's new model. Yeah.
I want to check it out. I'm a big fan of Matt's whole trip, man. His aesthetic. Every time I see an album surfboard, it makes you kind of like raise your eyebrow and go, wow, that I want to give that one a go. You know, there's something about his aesthetic that's just, it's appealing, very appealing.
Totally. And the team that he's developed just resonates with guys like you and I so much, because Josh Kerr getting off tour, you know, it's like, it's the, what we identify with is aging beyond the pointy thruster and what's next. And so Josh Kerr getting off tour and riding those boards that are a little bit more user-friendly, but still surfing them to the highest possible level. What Asher Pacey is doing on twin fins, and now seeing Jack Freestone go through that same evolution, this is just like a slight modification from a shortboard in the direction of more foam and more user friendliness and more forgiving. But still, you watch him surf it and he's doing backside full rotation airs on it. So it still shreds, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. So yeah, $5 a month. You could support our work, invest in the future of the show, secure the archives for future generations, and potentially win an album Free Wing.
Absolutely. Album Free Wing. Well, David, it's been a good show. I don't know what else.
Well, I want you to hit the Boardroom Show.
The Boardroom International Surfboard Show, presented by US Blanks, a long and loyal sponsor, US Blanks. And we've honoring Timmy Patterson in the Icons of Foam. I'll be doing a podcast with Tim maybe next week. I think we have it planned for.
Awesome.
And of course, there's going to be a lot going on there. Timmy's going to have 8 shapers replicating his classic designs in a competition that honors Timmy Patterson. And we will also have the Boardroom Talks, which will be insightful, informative, engaging discussion. Live music, of course. Zio Bafo Organic Wines is going to be sponsoring and presenting the Best in Show, which this year is the category Big Wave Gun. So if you, any board builder in the world is allowed to enter this, there's something like $4,000 in cash and prizes. And Free Ride the Movie is going to be looping. I really would like to get Rabbit and Sean and Mark Richards at the show to have a discussion about Free Ride the Movie. Bill Delaney's epic movie from the 70s in Hawaii, which really from 75 to 77, that era, those 2 years there, that Bustin' Down the Door era, his movie was all-time classic. And it's never been put out digitally. So it's the very first time. It was never on VHS tape. It was only on celluloid film. And so for the first time ever, they've gotten together and done a remaster of that movie. And that's going to be looping. And of course, a lot of other fun stuff going on at the Boardroom International Surfboard Show. Basically a massive hall filled with super killer surf goods, surfboards, wetsuits, fins, gear, art, and a ton of fun. So check
it out. What are the dates?
October 8th and 9th. October 8th and 9th, 2022 at the Del Mar Fairgrounds.
Awesome. When you interview Timmy Patterson next week, ask him how he feels about his main team writer's ab posts on and girlfriend posts on Instagram.
I will. I'll ask Timmy about that.
Does he feel like Italo's girlfriend is going to thwart Italo's world title hopes for this year?
I don't know. I'm watching a replay right now and Italo's kind of getting it on. But I will say this. Gabe Medina looks so much better than anybody else. It really speaks to that initial email that we read today. Like, let's just cut the crap and get the top 10 guys together for 3 hours in Epic Waves and have four heats of three, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever the format is.
What's interesting about Gabe is he hasn't even turned on yet.
I know. He looks like he's playing with it, like he's toying, like he's like, this is just a little warm-up session. I'm not even really stretched.
No, he hasn't. And you watch him and he just puts a six on the board, surfing at 20%.
It's amazing.
Which is incredible. It really is amazing. It's funny how much of a fan you and I have become of him. If you rewind the show 5 years, we were trying to find reasons to hate him, despite him getting like multiple tens every event. We're still anti, and he's totally won us over.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, you almost feel like if he really put his head down, and in a weird way, if he would almost make the statement, like, I'm gunning for 12 world titles.
Yeah,
like he could kind of do it. Like if he grinded for, 14 more years, he could probably get to 12. What has he got? Two or three now?
He's got two.
He's got two. He should already have five.
Wait. No, three. Was last year three? Man, the fact that you and I don't know this off the top of my head, it's kind of blowing my mind. The thing is, information is hard to find in my brain when we're on air. You know what I mean? It's like we know the information, but
yeah.
I think he has three. Yeah, last year was three.
Could he get to 12? I think I think what he needs to do is put it out there. Like, you know what? Just be bold, like own it. Like, I'm going to beat Kelly Slater. Like, that would create years and years and years of storyline, as long as he kind of did like get three in a row and he got to six, and like, it's doable.
You know what though? There's a million variables that can interfere. And I think that his strategy is to get 12, but it's to do it one step at a time.
On the down low.
He's pacing it. By the way, he won three world titles, one in 2014, 2018, and 2021.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I got to go. Until next time, David. Adios and aloha.
It's always summer in the southern state where I'm behind the moon, floating in space. I'm not in hiding, just trying not to be found. So when I hear my name, I never turn around. Into that grid where I live out in the open, the perfect.
simple life in a beautiful place. But something's rattling somewhere inside, and it sounds like it's broken, but in a place I can't find. And it only gets louder with time.
And don't forget to post your job for free at linkedin.com/surf. That's linkedin.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.